Welcome to Season 3 of Love in Context. This season, we're exploring the life of Jesus, step by step, and uncovering what his story teaches us about loving God and others. Here on Love in Context, we're all about having real conversations about how to live out that love in practical, everyday ways, and understanding the Bible in its full context. We're so glad you're here. Let's dive into Season 3 of Love and Context. Welcome back to the Love in Context podcast.
Side note, Ben's starting a DJ career. If any of you have bar mitzvahs, he only does bar mitzvahs, nothing
only
else.
Only bar mitzvahs. Yeah, no bat mitzvahs, only
nope,
bar mitzvahs.
Just bar mitzvahs.
Yeah. It is Wednesday and we're both exhausted.
Uh-huh.
It is one of those days. So people don't know, but we post on Friday, but usually we record on Wednesday. And we were going to record last Wednesday, but Spencer was so sad about the Mariners that he couldn't record.
Uh-huh.
No, that's not it. But we could record on Wednesday, and sometimes we get here, and I'm like, this feels like the end of the week.
Uh-huh.
And it's not. And I've got like two more days to go.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like,
Yeah. So. Yeah. Wednesdays, we did try recording on Fridays, but my Wednesday, Thursdays are just slammed. And by the time I get to Friday afternoon, my thoughts are like, all right, we are talking Bible stuff and there's words here we should read. And I have a thought. It's somewhere. And those are the things Ben gets to edit out.
He gets there and he's like, yeah, that guy that did the thing, Jesus,
uh-huh.
You know that.
Uh-huh.
So,
uh-huh.
If you guys remember last episode, we talked about Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus, and we're going to be jumping right around that story. There's going to be this time where Jesus is now the start of the Passion. He's going to be going into Jerusalem, and that's the story that we're going to be reading today. Mm-hmm. We're going to read it from two different places, even though you can find it in all four Gospels. We're going to start in Matthew, and I think you got that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to a town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. Go into the village there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with a colt beside it. Untie and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that was said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him, and they threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and the others cut branches from trees and spread them on the ground.
Jesus is a Jew, so that's okay. You nailed it.
Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings to the one who has come in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heavens. They enter the city of Jerusalem, the entire city of Jerusalem. I am so tired. Let's try that again. The entire city of Jerusalem uproared as he entered. Who is this? They asked. The crowds replied, it is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.
All right, so Spencer says that he's tired, and that's why he's having trouble reading. I think we all know, and we've established on this podcast, Spencer can't read. He's just memorized a lot of words.
Yeah, it's not like that's what I teach in school every day.
All right, now let's hear this from the Gospel of John. So the reason I chose Matthew and John is Matthew's going to be one of the earlier accounts written, and John's going to be one of the later accounts written down. And so just kind of seeing how they're shaped for a different audience. Mm-hmm. Also, Matthew written more to a Jewish audience. Mm-hmm. John also writing to Jews, but in a Gentile area.
Mm-hmm.
So starting in chapter 12, so he's just had, they just had this conversation with, they've called out Lazarus. Then he's been anointed by Mary. And Judas has that conversation about like, mm-hmm. oh, well, you could have sold this for the poor, even though that's definitely not what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says the next day. So this is what happened previously. The next day, the great crowds that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he raised Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, a little context here. Jesus isn't the only one entering in a procession.
Mm-hmm.
There's another guy by the name of Pontius Pilate that's also entering in a procession.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have this military procession. There's going to be soldiers and weapons and horses. And there's going to be Hail Caesar and like all these different things that are going on. This very military type of procession mm-hmm. coming into this city. And then you got Jesus coming in on the other side. Colt, donkey, free people, praising cutting down palm trees, and which we'll get to in a minute. But the reality here is that we've got two kings,
mm-hmm.
we've got two kingdoms, and there's a collision of pageantry, if mm-hmm. you will. Jerusalem's population is roughly seven times its normal population because mm-hmm. of the festivals that are coming up.
Yeah.
Passover. It's one of the three festivals that you actually come and you're there for pilgrimage.
Mm-hmm.
This one, and then typically they'll stay for Shavuot, which is 50 days later. This is going to be a tense time for the Romans because this is the celebration of Passover, which is when they're celebrating Exodus from Egypt,
mm-hmm.
when a dictator was overthrown by the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you a little bit nervous about like riots breaking out. That's why Pontius Pilate is even there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a ton of political messianic tension, right? Expectations. There's tension going on here. Pilate is coming in with this position of power and authority and sword and, you know, what Rome is, mm-hmm. is that they're going to lay waste to all of their enemies. And Jesus is riding on a donkey,
mm-hmm.
right? He's coming in. And, if you actually read the account in Luke, he's actually going to weep mm-hmm. when he actually sees them rejoicing. And we're going to talk about why that is in just a minute.
Yeah.
But this is a very, very different picture mm-hmm. because like, if you think about what the people are expecting, they're expecting this messianic king that's going mm-hmm. to rise up and destroy Rome and mm-hmm. put Israel back in forefront. And Jesus is doing none of that. You have that. That's Rome. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the Jewish people are oppressed, but it's like that's their thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what I'm doing.
Well, and that's a realistic expectation because they're coming from the context of the Exodus, right? Mm-hmm. Where the world powerhouse was brought to its knees by the Lord,
mm-hmm.
right? And so Rome at the time spread through parts of Africa, the Middle East,
mm-hmm.
Over like through what would be modern day Pakistan, Turkey, all the way up into Europe, right? Italy, and it was actually working on its spread northward, and actually eventually did get all the way over to England, right? So Rome was this massive, massive empire, right? And so the Jews are probably holding on to only our God can take care of this,
mm-hmm.
right? Only our God can free us from these guys, right?
As crazy as it is, Rome is almost more formidable than Egypt was.
It was more formidable, yeah.
Like from their perspective, because mm-hmm. I mean, like, yes, they were enslaved in Egypt, mm-hmm. and Egypt was a powerhouse, but now Rome is like the nation conquering nation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's going on in the story is every word, every prop is telling a story in this. So one of the first things that's actually mentioned is it comes from Zechariah 9:19. That's not even a word. That's not a number. That's not a reference. It comes from Zechariah 9:9, and it says that the king comes humbly, riding on a donkey, bringing peace instead of war. Now, the next verse, Zechariah 9:10, is then going to declare that the king will banish chariots and command peace to the nations.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes on the colt saying, "I'm bringing peace, not war." But that's not what the people see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jesus is telling a story, even how he's coming in. He's like, I'm bringing peace, not war. And they're just like, yeah, peace when you drive out the Romans and then we'll be at peace. Mm-hmm. Right. They actually quote, let's see here, donkeys in the Old Testament in Solomon in 1 mm-hmm. Kings 1:33. Donkeys will symbolize royal mounts for peacetime kings.
Mm-hmm.
They quote from Psalm 118. You heard that. We said the crowd's cry of Hosanna come from this it's actually a festival hymn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sung as pilgrims as they enter the temple. Save us, we pray, O Lord, is the exclamation of hope, mm-hmm. right, from the psalm. And there's actually even a connection back to Genesis 49, where it says that Jacob has this oracle over Judah, where he says the kingship is going to be tied to a donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Your kingship is actually going to be tied to a donkey in Genesis 49. So there's a lot of things that are connecting from the Torah here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say that people miss all of it, but they miss a lot of it. And I think John highlights this well. He's like, we didn't really understand what he was doing, but after he rose, we're like, oh.
Yeah, and don't jump on the people's case too much on this.
Yeah, that'd totally be us.
Like, let's just ask a simple question. Have you ever been so, like, single-minded or focused that when a change in direction is put in front of you, you still can't make that change?
Right.
Right? Like, so my daughter's second grade and your son's first grade.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
am I about to hear a story about today? Yeah.
No, you're not. But like, there has been times where my kid has been so focused on every detail on how something's going to get play mm-hmm. out that when like one little thing gets off, she's mm-hmm. like, my world is undone. And there's no way I can function throughout the rest of the day.
Well, there's also, mm-hmm. and beyond that too, there's also this thing of like, we have this expectation of how we think it's going mm-hmm. to play out. Like to your point, one of my favorite stories is the story about there's this flood coming into an area and this guy, his neighbors come and tell him, they're like, hey, you got to evacuate because there's a flood coming in the area. He's like, listen, I already prayed and God told me he would save me. And they're like, okay. So then later the floodwaters have come up to the top of the roof, right? And he's sitting on the roof and this guy comes up in a boat and he says, hey, you know, we're getting people out of here, like jump on the boat. And he says, no, God already told me that he'd save me. And then he's standing on the top of the roof and the water's up to his chest and a helicopter comes up and he says, dude, we can get you out of here. Come give me your hand. We'll get you out of here and we'll save you. He says, nope, God already said that he would save me. Then he drowns and dies. And he's in heaven. He asks God, he's like, God, you told me that you would save me. He's like, I sent your neighbors. I sent a boat and I sent a helicopter. What do you need? Right.
Uh-huh.
And so we're like, well, this is how God's going to save. This is how God is going mm-hmm. to, he's going to fix the world. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I would also say, don't get on the Hebrews case about them having this focus of we're going to get freed from Roman oppression. Because
mm-hmm.
look at the Old Testament moving forward. You have Egypt that gets freed from Egypt, right? You have them being conquered by Assyrians. They get freed from that. The Babylonians, they get freed from that. I'm probably forgetting a few others, but mm-hmm. but you see what I'm saying? There's other nations that have come in and conquered them time and time again, and the Lord has brought up somebody to free them from that.
Right.
So in their minds, it is a very, very
continuing a pattern.
Very reasonable expectation to say the Lord's going to rise up somebody to free us from Rome.
So the question I wrote here is a prompt for us to talk about, kind of mm-hmm. talking through these points, because what they do. By the way, once again, I want to point out we're not getting onto the Jewish people. We're just using them as a talking point, really talking about mm-hmm. us.
Yeah.
Right. Did the crowd cheer for the wrong kind of Messiah? And would we have too?
Yeah.
Because so one of the things they're doing is they spread cloaks on the road. If you look at 2 Kings 9:13, that Jehu is proclaimed king. This is the same thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a king thing. You throw your cloaks out. The palms symbolize victory and Jewish nationalism. They're often used in revolts like the Maccabean uprising, which mm-hmm. happened just a couple hundred years before. Right. Mm-hmm. And, so in your like their head, they're like, oh, this is it. This is Maccabean. This is what we've seen. This is like, they're going to come mm-hmm. and liberate. They're going to come and overthrow. We're going to see, you know, all these things coming back. And in the middle of this, people are going, Hoshana, Hoshana, you know, and they're excited because they're like, Rome is going down. And if you read the text in Luke, it says that Jesus looks at it and he starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when we talked about Lazarus, we talked about that Jesus wept, and it's one word for, it's like deep emotional anguish. Mm-hmm. The word here is different.
Yeah.
And it's he's very sad. Mm-hmm. Like he's actually shedding tears, like yeah. legit tears.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is heartbreaking for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
Yeah. And I mean, we do that, like as parents, we do that, right?
Yeah.
When our kids get so stuck in their ways and they're like, you are just missing the point. I mean, sometimes we shed tears. Sometimes we yell a little bit, right? But
speak for yourself. I have never yelled in my life.
I've never heard you yell at your kids.
Hey, get down from there.
Exactly. But you know, that's just kind of, it's one of those things that we can relate to as well.
Yeah.
Like Jesus sees the people doing this and these people think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, no, like you're missing it.
This, okay. Yeah. So kids is actually a great way to talk about this because, mm-hmm. We went to the zoo. We went, it was either Boise Zoo or it was the...
To be clear, Ben went to the zoo with his kids. I didn't go with Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. Spencer and I went to the zoo.
Just Ben and I went to the zoo.
We ate some corn dogs and we had popcorn. No, I'm just kidding. So I can't remember if it was the Anchorage Zoo or the Boise Zoo, but we went to the zoo because James wanted to see animals, right? And so this was sometime in the last couple of years. Right at the entrance of the zoo, there's like this, there's like these little animal figures that you can like, crawl on.
Mm-hmm.
And James wanted to crawl on him. Totally fine. Right. Then we were actually going to go into the zoo. Right. We're going to go because there's a playground down the way that he can see the tigers. You can see the bears. We can see the fish, like all the things that are going on.
So thought you were going to go lions and then I could go, oh my, but that's okay. Sorry.
I messed you up. Sorry. Sorry.
I was waiting. Like,
I mean, I teed you up and then I just
then you went to fish and I was fish. Like, it's like, bro, like golden opportunity.
That's where you can tell. Like I did not plan what I was about to say before I said it because I totally would have done that.
Uh-huh.
Oh my. anyways, so he's on this, playing with these like little figurines, like he's playing with them and he doesn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, these are the best things that I've ever had or been around. And, so we're like, hey, we need to go deeper in. And he just pitches the biggest fit. I'm sure you have no idea what this is like. Right. And like it gets to this point where I know where we're going,
mm-hmm.
and I know the excitement that he's going to have.
Yeah.
But I almost don't want to go there now because it's getting ruined,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he's focusing on something of not where we're going, but like where we are.
Yeah.
And he's so focused on where we are that he doesn't understand. I'm like, dude, you have no idea what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, and you are so convinced that this is the best thing that's ever happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go deeper,
mm-hmm.
right? And I just think that this is a lot of what like is happening, and this is like legitimate like fears and concerns, and like I don't want to minimize how people feel when oppression and sin and brokenness and all the things that we deal with in life, right? Where we're waiting for God to break through, mm-hmm. where we're at, and we're like you know. Right here, like God's gonna do this, but he's like, dude, just go a little bit deeper. I've got something way better planned for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you look at the act of throwing your cloaks down and throwing mm-hmm. palm trees down. Part of the reason that this was done, or at least this is one interpretation of it, is the roads that you traveled on back in those days were incredibly dirty,
mm-hmm.
right? They were full, we've talked about it, full of animal poop and mm-hmm. full of just like, they were not clean.
Right. And in case you missed that, he said poop.
Mm-hmm. Poop.
Yes. Uh-huh. Animal poop.
And so you like,
this is the only podcast that talks about the Bible and poop.
But part of that act of like throwing your cloak down for a king or a savior or something like that is you are trying to keep them clean and pure in the sight of the Lord. Like it's this imagery piece that takes place, right?
Yeah.
But then the question becomes is why were they trying to keep him? Why were they trying to keep this purity,
mm-hmm.
right? Were they trying to keep it for Jesus' sake so that Jesus could remain pure?
Mm-hmm.
Or were they trying to do it for their own sake of like, if we keep him pure, we get saved from this oppression?
Yeah.
Right? And like, if you take that interpretation, I personally, and please don't take this as like, this is like 100% theologically true. This is just a Spencer interpretation. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we take that. And then personally, I see Jesus going and weeping, being like, you guys just missed the point.
Yeah.
It's not just about you.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, but that's what's going to be continuing to go on as because we're going to be the back half of the season is going through Passion Week.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's so many times, like even next week, we're going to talk about Jesus going through and cleansing the temple.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you missed the point,
mm-hmm.
right? It's going to be a lot of you missed the point.
Yeah.
You missed the point over and over and over mm-hmm. again to the point that they get frustrated and they're like, well, maybe we'll just kill you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and the combination of those two stories is you have the story of like, here's the show. We're going to keep you, quote unquote, clean, free from mess. And then Jesus goes to the temple and he's like, what the flip are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? Literally. And then flips tables.
And I don't want to understate how, I think sometimes like we hear it and we just don't necessarily think about how revolutionary, like the way that Jesus tells us conquering actually happens
mm-hmm.
because he goes in on a cult. So Rome has come in, chariots, you know, loud noises, singers, mm-hmm. you know, whatever you want to call it, right? It's loud, it's bombastic, and he's coming in on a colt, and he's weeping because he recognizes that they're missing the point. It's a lot of, like, humbleness that he's mm-hmm. he's coming to bring peace. Like, it's going to be not that many days later, he's going to be walking out carrying a cross.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes in humble, and he leaves in one of the most humiliating ways possible,
mm-hmm.
right? Literally carrying a cross. Like, and this is how the world is conquered.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think we can understate how weird the way that God's kingdom actually works is.
Mm-hmm.
That when we say upside down kingdom, we really mean upside down. His coronation event is a crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange.
Mm-hmm.
He says to conquer the world, you have to lay your life down. You have to be willing to pick up your cross and follow after him.
Yeah.
Right? You got to be willing. And that's not just die because you're a diehard. It means because you're willing to lay down your life to protect, to liberate, to lift people up, to bring the kingdom of God into the midst mm-hmm. of other people so that people are able to engage with who God is. That's the kind of thing that actually conquers the world.
Yeah.
And we say that, but it's not actually bred into the... It feels like it's one of the things that's missing in the fiber of the Christian church,
mm-hmm.
that we actually exist to lay ourselves down for other people, to disciple other people.
Well, a lot of Christian church talk today talks about is still kind of leans towards that. This is what you receive. This is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But then it's, what do you do with what you get? Like, as you were following Jesus, you are going to inherently become more like him, right? As you are leaning into that relationship with God, and you're inherently going to start seeing the world the way God sees the world and living the way God wants you to live. It's a natural progression. And we often treat it like a checklist, but we often say those prayers like, oh Lord, thank you for everything you've done for me and all that I've gotten out of it. And then we kind of leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we forget to add in the, put people in my place so I can put people in front of me that I can share you with, or something like that. Right. Right. Because it goes hand in hand. We receive so we can give.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just receive so we can keep it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Jesus talked about this a few chapters ago about something about like a light on a hill or something like that.
And even going all the way back to Genesis 12, mm-hmm. you have been blessed so that
mm-hmm.
all nations would be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you have been, like, God has done something in your favor
uh-huh.
so that through you, all the people around you mm-hmm. receive the blessing of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so what does that actually look like? You know, I wrote down this quote because I thought it was great. Sometimes divine truth comes dressed like a street protest and street poetry at once.
Mm-hmm.
you mm-hmm. know, I was like, it just... it's down and it's dirty and it's in your face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that we have to not be afraid of, which Jesus definitely does, because we've been talking about poop. So this is
mm-hmm.
real discipleship, real fellowship in the kingdom of God is messy,
mm-hmm.
right? It's going to be messy because we're taking broken people and helping them put their lives back together. Mm-hmm. We're introducing them to a king who can clean up their life, but like there's a lot to clean up. Like cleaning, mm-hmm. coming to Jesus with your garbage means that there's garbage that has to be cleaned up,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not a bad thing, but life is messy.
Discipleship is like going into someone's house, someone who's made a lifestyle of pooping on the living room floor.
Yes.
And you being like, hey, I want to help you clean that up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, it's a really weird analogy for it, but that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's like when you are bringing the gospel to people, you are bringing life to a place that is so dirty and messy, and you're bringing Jesus, who's the one who's like, hey, I see how much you've crapped in the living room.
Yeah.
And I'm going to help take care of that.
So there's a lot of things going on in this picture. There's this image, there's this juxtaposition of kingdom of God and Rome, and there is this juxtaposition of like the people and what Jesus is doing. There's this Old Testament connections. There's this pageantry of items. He's going to be coming in and confronting like the Jewish leaders. They're like, yeah, we're not a fan of what's going on right now. He's way too popular.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they're going to try to bring him down a couple of pegs, which is going to lead to some very fun conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But the overwhelming image that we should be getting during this Passion Week that Jesus is driving home, and it's going to be in the conversations, it's going to be in mm-hmm. it's going to be in the debates, it's going to be in the crucifixion, it's going to be in resurrection, it's going to be in through all the through the trial, mm-hmm. is that the kingdom of God is coming to conquer, but not through coercion, but compassion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That passion, the compassion, mm-hmm. I would even say, of God.
Mm-hmm.
That it's coming to conquer, but not in, it looks very different than Rome.
Yes.
And this type of kingdom can't be stopped.
No.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It goes all the way back to Genesis 1, where you have the chaos waters and the dark. And the first thing God does is he brings his presence, which brings calm, and he brings light to reveal what it is. Right. Mm. You have that tie back over to that Matthew passage where Jesus is like, you're the light on top of a hill.
Mm-hmm.
When light is brought into a situation, it reveals what's broken.
Right.
Right. And then you have Jesus here weeping. Well, in a bit, he's going to be weeping because he realizes that there is light that's coming, but yeah. they don't see it.
Jesus is going to, just a couple of chapters later in Matthew, he's actually going to go up and he's going to lament. And it's really interesting because they've been very much like, yeah, he's here and he's the best and blah, blah, blah. But in Matthew 23, he's going to say this: Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, ironically, what's the thing that they said when he came in?
Blessed is the one who came in the name of the Lord.
Yeah. And so like Jesus knows exactly what's going on here, yeah. but we may touch on the laments. I can't remember if that's in our notes, but we probably reference them as we're going through either
yeah,
way.
We will.
But Jesus is coming in. And I think the craziest thing about this is because you're talking about being light on a hill and mm-hmm. coming back to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is literally going to a dark place to shine light.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to appreciate it. In fact, mm-hmm. they're going to kill him for it.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, he's going to actually conquer the world,
mm-hmm.
conquer sin, and light is going to continue to spread everywhere that he goes.
Yeah.
Right? He says, hey, you know, Jerusalem, you who stone prophets and kill those sent to help you.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I've longed to gather you up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is the beginning. Until next time, I think the next story we're gonna tackle, historically there's this conversation about doesn't happen twice, doesn't happen once. It's the Jesus cleansing the temple.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to approach this as it happening at the end of his ministry,
mm-hmm.
Because we're going to be referencing John. So if you want to read ahead, go look at Jesus cleansing the temple.
Yep. Till next time.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Love and Context. We hope this conversation encouraged you and gave you fresh insights into how we can better love God and others through the powerful truths of the Bible. We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions, thoughts, or suggestions to loveandcontext@gmail.com. Your feedback means the world to us and helps shape future episodes. Stay connected with us on social media for updates, behind-the-scenes content, and additional resources. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook at Love and Context. Be sure to hit that follow button and join our growing community. Thanks for being part of the Love and Context family. Remember, love is at the heart of it all. Until next time, keep seeking wisdom, embracing love, and living out your faith in today's world.